Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. I'm talking to Anton Taliaferro today, who is the Investment Director at QV Equities. Anton, it's always good to talk to you. Welcome.
Good to be here, Tom.
Now, why don't we just talk about the broad picture for the markets at the moment. It's really being dominated by a lot of volatility, and it's difficult to cut through what's going on at present. You know, Trump, the chief tweeter, is having an impact in a pretty dramatic way. The tax cuts that were so important in the early part of this year, are they going to be delivered in the US?
I mean, I think the issue, Tom, is the reality is the world's still got these very low interest rates, yep. And that's what's really driving investment markets. So really share markets, well, there's all this political positioning, whatever, and lots of noise. You know, the truth is it's low interest rates, which are really the dominant theme of share markets. So obviously you have a lot of investors looking for income, looking for somewhere to put their money to work, and that's why share markets remain very well supported, despite the fact that maybe the earnings and the economies of the world are not that strong, which perversely actually means rates will stay lower for longer, which means share markets in the short term anyway will continue to be supported because interest rates are low, because economies aren't that strong.
So you always look at the fundamentals, and across the world, universally, really, income at the household level is stagnant. So that just goes to the heart of what you're talking about.
Yeah, so look, and there are a lot of retirees, a lot of people with savings who even 5 or 10 years ago probably thought they'd earn some sort of return on their cash if they put it in the bank, if they bought a 10-year bond. The reality is they can't today, and a lot of people's bonds are maturing. From 10 years ago, if you're a German investor, you may have got 3 or 4% 10 years ago. Your bond matures today, you go to your advisor, you say, I want to roll it, what can I get? The guy says 0.2%. Yep. You go, wow, can I do better than that? So obviously this is, something that's reoccurring and is what is supporting share markets, basically. There is this huge amount of cash trying to get some sort of return.
Now let's quickly talk about your focus outside the top 20. That has been a better experience of late compared to the top 20, given how banks have performed.
Yeah, look, I think it's tough. I think the whole market probably got a bit overbought, a few weeks ago. The reality is many smaller companies are struggling a little bit. The economy in Australia appears to be going through a bit of a patchy phase, particularly April. Actually, a lot of companies are saying April was quite slow, partly because of where the holidays fell, etc. Yep. Although some companies are saying May was better. So look, it's patchy. Some companies are doing well and some companies not so well. So it's quite a mixed bag, to be honest. So we're still focusing on companies that appear cheap, that are well managed, that can still pay a dividend, and hopefully in 3 to 5 years we'll do pretty well.
Indeed. So let's talk about Ansell, because this has been an area of focus for you for some time. And previously we talked about the possibility that asset sales would materialise in the condom business being sold, and that has actually come to fruition. What's your view on this?
Look, we encouraged the company to sort of do that, to look at doing that actually, because the multiples at which condoms businesses were being sold overseas seemed pretty full.
Yep.
So in fact, Ansell sold their condom division last week for over $600 million, which was the equivalent of 16 times EBITDA, which sounds pretty complicated, but it's basically a very big price.
It's a huge price.
Whoever bought it, is obviously very optimistic about the business, which is good for Ansell. So from Ansell's point of view, what that means is clears off their debt, so they've got zero debt now. In fact, they'll end up with almost $200 million in cash, and they'll end up being focused as a glove, basically, manufacturer and distributor around the world. So Ansell have spent the last decade, maybe even longer, building distribution of medical and industrial gloves around the world. So they're in Russia, they're in South America, they're in the US, they're in Europe, they've got huge distribution network, and they manufacture and design lots of different gloves. For the industrial side, for example, they have gloves for the oil industry, gloves for the building industry, gloves for the chemical industry, lots of specialist gloves, and they also have a very big medical glove division. So, basically Ansell now will be basically the largest glove manufacturer and distributor in the world. Doesn't sound very exciting, but it's a dominant position. And as I said, the condom division was a small division in the overall scheme of things. It enabled them to get a very good price for what was really a small division. And at some point when the opportunities arise, they will reinvest the money into more glove businesses around the world.
To
expand their footprint further.
So the cyclical nature of the glove business, you know, comes down to, you know, activity in the mining spaces, mining services spaces to an extent. Is that an issue, do you think?
No, as I said, they have two glove bits. They've got the medical gloves, which is obviously quite resilient and growing, and they've actually got a lot of IP in gloves. They have, for example, a glove which has got two layers in the glove with an antibacterial liquid in between, which surgeons love, because what it means is if the surgeon accidentally cuts the glove, the antibacterial means he doesn't get 99% of known infections.
Wow.
So that's obviously a very popular medical glove. So they do have this very specialized IP in the medical glove division. In the manufacturing glove division, they're exposed to all sorts of industries. Some manufacturing, and look, there is a bit more cyclicality, but they've got such a good position, for example, in the US. They're now stocked by most of the major distributors who've got rid of their smaller glove manufacturers, because they're just going to the one company that can give them a whole range of gloves. So they're winning market share in various markets. So look, it's a good solid company now. It's debt free. It's on 17 times. It's as I said,
So given the investment in their distribution network
and manufacturers,
Are they now in a good position to acquire something that complements their existing business to provide
Absolutely.
A growth engine?
Absolutely. And they're looking, but they're being disciplined, and we sort of like that. So look, in the short term, the shares have been a little bit volatile because obviously they're going to miss the earnings from the condom division. But in the longer term, it means they've got a very good price for that division. They're debt-free and they're in a very good position to when something of value comes along, they're well positioned to acquire it. In the meantime, they've also announced they'll be doing a share buyback of 10% of the equity. So look, it's just a well-positioned company. And well managed.
Indeed. So when you look out over the course of the next 6 to 9 months, what are you looking at in terms of threats and opportunities?
Look, I think the environment is going to remain quite tough. I mean, the truth is, as I said earlier, economic conditions are sort of hardly at the point where they're about to tear away.
Yep.
Which, as I said, also means interest rates will stay low. Obviously, if you look, for example, at Australia, the consumer's very highly indebted because of the, what's happened to house prices, utility costs are going up, etc. So, the consumer is a little bit stressed. So, look, it's going to remain patchy and you've just got to remain very stock specific. I think the one thing that's a feature of the market is the volatility. Shares prices do move. And I think we're quite well positioned as an investment manager to take advantage of that, because we really do try and understand what we think a company's worth.
Yes.
Unfortunately today, share prices can move wildly.
Yep,
and a lot of that is driven by computer trading, I think, or hedge funds. And I think I may have said this before when we've chatted, that I would say something like 60 or 70% of the daily trade on the stock market today is done by people or things who don't even know what they're buying or selling. So the people, buying Ansell the other day and when it jumped $1.50 when the condom division was sold, was probably some computer trade. Yep. On Friday when it dropped the dollar, it was probably another computer because it put in the earnings. So there's all this sort of nonsense going on in the market. But I think for genuine investors such as ourselves who take a 3 to 5 year view, who are looking at the underlying fundamentals of the companies, it's not a bad environment. So look, there's plenty of good companies doing lots of good things.
Yep.
The economic environment is quite difficult, but we remain confident. Companies like Ansell, Pact Group, all these sort of companies, which maybe in the short term are struggling a little bit, the next 3 to 5 years, we think their outlook looks pretty good.
So in the event that you did have continued weakness and things became a little more attractive from a value perspective, are there any sectors that you're going to be looking at most closely?
Not particularly, Tom. We've got quite a bit of cash at the moment in the QV portfolio. We've got over 20% in cash. So that's telling you that we're finding it a little bit difficult to find, roaring value.
Yeah.
But we are buying at the edges. I'll give you a couple of examples, perhaps. Fletcher Building,
yep.
Which got sold very heavily because they announced a development loss, a one-off yep. development loss.
Very patchy, it's lumpy, the pipeline, when it comes to those sorts of businesses, isn't it? You have a bad quarter, it's followed up by a good one.
Well, Fletcher's actually is got a huge cost-cutting program going through the whole organisation. Actually, the New Zealand property market still looks strong.
Very strong,
the government there has a surplus.
Yep.
In fact, their budget was last week where they announced a huge infrastructure spend.
The Kiwis are really leading the way, aren't they?
Well, it's amazing. They've got no iron ore, no coal, no gas, and they've got a surplus, you know. So you just wonder, you know, what would happen in this country
if we had
proper management, I think. But anyway, it's another
day.
Yeah, long story there. In the last 10 years, you know, the political environment has been a little bit not that terrific. But anyway, in terms of leadership in this country. But Fletcher's is pretty well positioned in New Zealand, which continues to do well. As I said, they were hit by a one-off loss on the development in their development division. We're pretty convinced it was a one-off loss. I think a lot of people are worried that there's more to come. We're pretty convinced. And, you know, we're pretty hopeful that when the result comes out in August, when all these quant people put in their numbers and whatever, they'll probably end up upgrading, and hopefully we'll see the share price doing what we hope it will do.
Let's hope. Anton, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks
for your
time.
Good to be here. Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.